WUKY presents health news you can use. It's Dr. Greg Davis on medicine.
Lyme disease, a tick-borne illness, affects approximately 500,000 Americans a year. My guest today is going to talk about his novel research looking at ways to control this disease. Dr. Brian Stevenson is a professor in the UK College of Medicine's Department of Microbiology, Immunology, and Molecular Genetics, as well as the Martin Gatton College of Agriculture, Food, and Environment's Department of Entomology. Brian, thank you very much for talking with me. I learned a lot from a recent UK Now article talking about some of the research that you're doing looking at tick-borne illnesses, and I guess everybody in the Commonwealth right now is probably talking about ticks the way it's not our imagination that we're seeing a lot more of them, that tick-borne illnesses are much more prevalent than they used to be. Can you tell us a little bit about what it is that you're doing and what you're aiming for in your research?
My research, so I've been at UK for about 28 years and is largely focused on Lyme disease spread by ticks of the genus Ixodes. When I got here 28 years ago, that was virtually unknown in Kentucky. And recent studies that I did with, or I was involved with at the entomology department, found that there's a number of counties in Kentucky where there's breeding populations of the ticks. They're established here. And evidence that they are carrying the bacteria that can cause Lyme disease. And, you know, so a hope that we'd like to do is to identify the, or isolate bacteria here in Kentucky and learn more about what they are, how infectious they are to humans and other sort of things like that. A lot of interesting stuff we could get out of it. The long-term goal of my research through all my career has been to try to understand the bacteria and how it infects ticks, how it infects humans. How does it know, say, when, you know, a large part has been, when it's inside a tick, how does it know the tick is feeding? How does it know to get out of the tick and go through? We found it, the bacteria go through a lot of changes. They stop making certain proteins. They make a lot of new proteins on their surface so they can interact with the human host and other vertebrate hosts. What are the signals there? And also, what are the functions on those new things that they produce? With the goal of how does it set up an infection in humans? How does it cause disease in humans? And what can we do to block the bacteria's ability to cause infection and to cause disease?
Well, one thing I learned from the article, and I'm ashamed to say I had no clue about this before, is that there's a symbiotic relationship between the bacteria that causes Lyme disease and a bacteriophage, a virus that is also in the tick with the bacteria, and you're looking at ways perhaps of utilizing that knowledge? Yeah.
So all bacteria that can cause Lyme disease in humans are naturally parasitized by a virus, multiple copies of the virus, and it's kind of funny how this has come full circle. I discovered those 30 years ago, and we spend a lot of time characterizing their DNA elements and what they produce, and that's largely what we've been doing. And now we're coming back to, okay, these viruses are in the bacteria, and normally, yeah, they're symbiotic. They get along just fine. They don't kill the bacteria. They have a symbiosis, they're a detente. But there is one point in the tick to vertebrate infectious cycle when the virus does become activated and produce infectious particles and kill some of the bacteria. And that is a apparently brief period of time inside the feeding tick when a small number of bacteria allow their bacteriophage, their virus, to become activated, replicate, package the viral DNA, kill those bacteria, and then infect all of the other bacteria that are inside the tick's midgut. And this is a way of spreading DNA across the population. So again, it's a symbiosis sort of thing. It's not like the bacteria are trying to destroy all of the bacteria, the phages are not trying to kill all the bacteria. they need to kill some to get out, but their main goal is to infect and transfer the DNA to other ones. So that creates even more diversity among the bacteria. And so two new grants that I've received, one from the federal government and one from the Global Lyme Alliance, a foundation, are focused on what are the controls for these viruses? How are they in communication with the bacteria to make sure that they don't go haywire and kill the bacteria? And our goal, which we're well into it, and we should know within a month or two, is can we override that so that instead of they're cooperating very nicely, that the bacteriophages, the viruses, are uncontrollable. They just replicate, they produce new bacteriophage particles, and then they blow apart those bacteria, and then they'll invade neighboring bacteria and kill those. And so we have potential there for therapies for persistent infections in humans and others, where we could induce the bacteriophages to kill the bacteria that are inside, that are infecting a person.
And sometimes
the beauty of that is that bacteriophages are absolutely specific for only that species of bacteria. So we don't have to worry about, they're not going to infect human cells, they're not going to infect any other bacteria. And so unlike antibiotics, which are just, you know, broadly applicable, they'll just kill all bacteria, there's can have complications for this. In the case of just the bacteriophages, it would only kill the Lyme disease spirochetes.
Well, and that was something that was mentioned in the UK Now article, that oftentimes in later stages of Lyme disease, it can even be very difficult for the antibiotics that are usually used to eradicate the disease. And perhaps this is coming at it from a very different angle to help the patient.
Yeah. Mm-hmm. Yes, because most antibiotics, as you know, work against bacteria that are growing and, you know, they're metabolizing. And so the antibiotic blocks that. And so the bacteria can't grow and survive. During persistent infection, chronic infection in a human or another vertebrate, the bacteria are probably not highly metabolically active, but they do have the viruses inside them, and they are still controlling them to make sure that they don't go haywire. So it's possible that a small molecule could be identified which could overcome the controls that are telling the virus don't replicate. That could be administered, and it's, you know, the control goes, and now the viruses replicate and they kill those bacteria.
Well, Brian, before we part, is there anything else you would want our listeners to know about this current research and hopes for the future?
Yeah, I suppose one important thing for everybody to recognize is this is another example of, we still don't have the new therapy, but the potential of the therapy is really coming from very basic research of just trying to understand what does this organism look like? What are the bacteria like? What's its DNA composition? And from those studies of 30 odd years ago, where we were asking those questions, we identified these are bacteriophages, these are viruses. And the recognition that, well, there must be these controls. And we've learned a lot about gene regulation in Borrelia, the Lyme disease spirochete, and we're going to be applying that to another application. So one never really knows where basic science is going to go, but without the basic science, we're nowhere. We'd never get to where we are right now. And as you know, there's plenty of examples of just, you know, curiosity. I wonder what this is. Well, now we have CRISPR. Now we have GFP. Now we have PCR. We have all of these phenomenal technologies that really just came out of very basic research.
My thanks today to Dr. Brian Stevenson, professor in the UK College of Medicine and the Martin Gatton College of Agriculture, Food and Environment, for talking with us about novel treatments for Lyme disease. For more information, visit our website at wuky.org. With health news you can use, I'm Dr. Greg Davis on Medicine.
Dr. Greg Davis is a forensic pathologist and professor emeritus at the University of Kentucky who volunteers his time covering important medical news for our community. This program is available as a podcast at wuky.org.